RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening. Going to be with you for the full four. We are asking you to download the Odyssey app. We know you're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. You can use your smartphone. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet. You can use your Coleco, your Ring doorbell, your Blu-ray, whatever your device is. Just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to keep up with us is through our personal Twitter pages. I'm at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Day-Day is producing the show. As always, on the other side of the glass, he is at the D. Lewis for real. Well, bunch to get into with you here this evening. We are... And I believe I'm right on this math. I may be a little bit off on there. I was trying to do math and trying to figure out times and all this kind of stuff. So we are T-minus 62 and a half hours until training camp, until training camp officially opens up for the first open practice. So that's Thursday morning at 9:30, right? Does that seem like it's about the right kind of math on all that stuff?
Yeah, probably give or take a few minutes, maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, we're 62 and a half hours away from training camp opening up for fans to be there Thursday, obviously. Now, we will start all of our coverage coming up on Thursday, and we got you covered, okay? We got the Morning Shaft. We got the Chuck House. We've got Dandy and Randy. We've got everything there. And then Dukes and Bell will be at the Hooters at Mall of Georgia. So we've got you covered all this Thursday and Friday and then all next week long. We even got shows going on up in Flowery Branch over the weekend. And I've done plenty of those shows. We've cleaned out porta potties. We've been there when there was nobody there. We watched Scott Pioli walk around the parking lot area where he's just getting some exercise in. So I've seen everything. So I've been there. We got up there when Good Humor ran out of ice cream bars, where they had this big sponsorship for Good Humor and, you know, all this, and we had Good Humor on our shirts and all that kind of stuff. And then they ran out of ice cream bars.
Nice.
Like about
in that heat.
like about an hour in. So again, we've seen a little bit of everything up at training camp. So but I think, what is it? You got to go online, Ticketmaster.com
or
something like
that.
Yeah,
go online to get your ticket. Yeah, no cost. It's just a matter of
A matter of attendance as far as how many people that they're letting in and stuff like that. Yeah. And there is construction and everything else
that's going on up there.
So, yeah. So, again, it's you know, a lot going on. But it's officially here. I mean, it's training camp week. It's hard to imagine. But, you know, again, all of the lead up, all of the build up, all of the off season, all of the draft, you know, all of these different things that have gone on. You know, from really, you know, the end of January leading up to this moment of roster construction and getting ready for a new season. So we're going to open up the phone lines at 7:20 here. So we're going to let you chime in because I'm going to ask a question about the Atlanta Braves, or sorry, about the Atlanta Falcons. So we'll get you involved here coming up in the next segment. Good weekend for the Braves. You know, won the rubber match yesterday, took 2 out of 3 from the Milwaukee Brewers. Now they'll get ready to go up to Fenway and play the Red Sox. So they got 2 games against the Red Sox. They're off tonight. So 2 games against the Red Sox, and then they'll come back home and have another 3-game set against the Milwaukee Brewers. And as we start action tonight, the Philadelphia Phillies are 11.5 back. The Miami Fishnets are 11.5 back. The Mutts are 18.5 back. That's all you need to know. As, again, the division's over. So, now, Braves are making moves, right? They picked up some pitching, you know, and specifically to help out this, you know, relief corps as, you know, obviously, look, they've gone through lots of injuries and they are, you know, looking to add as many arms as they can. Taylor Hearn comes over from the Texas Rangers. He's a left-hander. Pierce Johnson from the Rockies. They gave up a couple of prospects, you know, for him. He's pitched well outside of Coors Field. Didn't pitch well at Coors Field, but who does? So, again, they've added some pieces. Now, here's the main move that they made today that just is, I'll say, frustrating, okay? So, the Braves today acquired right-handed pitcher Yonny Chirinos off waivers from the Tampa Bay Rays and designated right-handed pitcher Seth Elridge for assignment. Additionally, the club optioned right-handed pitcher Michael Soroka to AAA Gwinnett following today's game. Okay, what exactly are we learning about Michael Soroka doing the Partridge Family bus tour from Gwinnett to Buford and back? Again, at some point, Michael Soroka is either going to be a contributor to this ball club, whether it's this year or next, or not. And look, they've got arbitration that they've got to offer him in the offseason. I'm wondering now, I mean, if you're doing all of this and you don't really have any confidence about Michael Soroka getting things fixed up at the big league level, and you've got Kyle Wright coming back at some point, you're going to have Ian Anderson at some point next year, Max Fried is coming back, like the starting staff, that's if you don't do anything at the deadline or in the offseason to bolster your starting staff, where's everybody going to pitch? You're going to just leave Soroka down at Gwinnett? So I wonder about what the long-term future is for Michael Soroka. Why would you offer him something in arbitration if you don't plan on using him? Or if you're not going to let him get things fixed up here? And that's my biggest gripe is, okay, I know he's not been lights out, but at some point He's been a competent major league pitcher. He's been more than a competent major league pitcher. He was one of the best young pitchers in all of Major League Baseball a few years ago before the injuries derailed him. If he can't get it figured up here, just give him his outright release. Maybe Michael Soroka at this point needs a change of scenery. You know, we talk about that, and again, I'm not saying that Michael Soroka needs a change from the Braves because, you know, the Braves aren't winning enough or this, that, and yeah. Maybe Michael Soroka needs a change of scenery. Maybe he needs to get away from the organization that he's been a part of for all of these years and go start fresh and anew somewhere. Because if it's not going to happen here, and if it's not now, when? When they're still beat up, banged up in the rotation. When we're still beat up and, you know, searching for guys to stabilize spots in a rotation. And, you know, Fried is going to make one more rehab start, it sounds like. Okay. So, you know, he's going to make one more start, which will be like probably Wednesday. And then you're going to figure next week before he's back. And we're not going to see, you know, Wright for a little while yet. I mean, he's throwing on some flat ground, but he's nowhere near, you know, a rehab assignment. And Ian Anderson's gone, you know, and it's like, okay, if he can't break through in all this, then when does it actually happen for him? When is going to be the right time for Michael Soroka to break through on this roster and stabilize a rotational spot? And again, we talked, you know, Dana and I talked about this last week. Look, I don't need Soroka to be lights out. I just need him to be a competent piece. Can he just be competent? Again, it was six innings of four-run, you know, ball in his last start. That's not great, but that's not terrible. The way this offense scores runs, hell, if I get a starting pitcher that only gives up three or four runs, you know, in one of their starts, I'll take that all day long. When we're out there bashing, you know, people home and hitting home runs left and right. By the way, Austin Riley, NL Player of the Week this past week. Why? Because he seems like he homered in every game. Seems like for a week straight he was homering every time he played. So he's got it cranked up, and he feels like he's about to be on one of these heaters where he carries the Braves for about 2 weeks on his shoulders and just, you know, totes them around. So, again, I trust our offense, and our offense is getting it done, and that's a good pitching staff that the Brewers have. That's part of the big reason why they are, you know, in first place the way that they are is, you know, they've pitched really well. Their offense is okay. You know, Yelich has been all right, but he ain't Christian Yelich like we saw a few years ago. He ain't winning back-to-back batting titles and 40 homers and 100 runs and 100 RBI and stealing a lot of bases, but you know, I don't know if he's that player ever again, but, you know, Braves are getting it done. And, you know, we certainly, I still wonder whether or not if it doesn't make sense to go get another starter at the deadline. And Alex Anthopoulos pretty much left everything open, you know. So I really think that there could be another starting pitcher added into the mix, which, you know, at that point, then it's like, okay, where are we at with Soroka? I mean, at this point, why would the Braves either bring Soroka back up or just, you know, release him or let him pitch through the end of the year? I don't know. Like, what are we learning in Buford? Just let him pitch the rest of the year down there. At least he didn't have to get on the Partridge Family bus and, you know, make a tour around, you know, and start with the peacocks and all that, you know, singing Get Happy, you know. I mean, it doesn't have to be like that. Either just let him pitch down there or bring him up here and run him through, but I don't think they're going to do that. And again, they're, you know, some of these guys, you know, part of the reason why they've made some of these trades, and we'll talk to our buddy Chris Willis coming up here at 8:20, but, you know, part of the reason that they're making some of these moves for the relief pitching is they're out of options on some of these guys. Like, they either have to make a decision, either you're going to let a guy go or you're going to have to bring him up to the club full time. Well, they're starting to get out of options on some of these things. So we'll see. But I'm flummoxed about the whole Michael Soroka thing. I want to see him up here. I want to see him figure it out. I want to see him work it out at the major league level. But they obviously did not agree with all of that. The class of 2023 Hall of Fame was inducted yesterday. Fred McGriff inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I did not see the speech or what have you, but, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of good things, and obviously, you know, McGriff, one of the cornerstones for this franchise through that 1990s run. And, you know, besides Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox, and Chipper, he was another one of the stalwarts, right? And obviously the big trade that brought him over here. And what he homered on, what was it? He homered on his first night when the fire broke out in the press box, right? So, again, yep. Fred McGriff, legendary player, and now takes his place in Cooperstown alongside the, as they say, the immortals in all of it. So we'll see what happens. We will talk to our friend of the show, Torrey McElhaney, coming up here at 7:40 this evening as, you know, Falcons training camp opens up and, you know, we're going to be up there, you know, starting on Thursday and we get full coverage. What is it, Day-Day? I think it's, is it 2 weeks from... 2 weeks from Thursday is the first preseason game
of the actual season. Not just you mean for us for the Falcons for the, or just in
for
general?
The, no, for the Falcons. The first preseason game I think is it 2 weeks from Thursday? I can't remember specifically, but I think it's 2 weeks from Thursday is the Falcons' first preseason
game. Yeah, the 24th. I'm sorry, the 11th. So that is
2 weeks from Thursday.
Yeah, yep.
So. Again, even my brain functions a little bit every now and then. So, but it's coming up quick. I mean, trust me, camp will fly by. It'll fly by, and it'll be in our rearview mirror very quickly, and we'll start moving on to, you know, preseason football and seeing about rosters and different things like that. Falcons really probably don't have that many 53-man spots that are really open. They've got some competition that's going to happen, but I don't know how many spots they really have open because you feel like they're in pretty good shape as far as the depth of their roster goes. So we'll see what happens, but we'll talk to Torrey McElhaney coming up at 7:40. All right, here's what we got. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line to join us, okay? The biggest strength and the biggest concern for the Falcons as we head into camp. Biggest strength, biggest concern for the Falcons that we have in the camp. I think mine will be pretty obvious, but we'll get my thoughts, we'll get Day-Day's thoughts, and we'll get your thoughts more importantly as well. 404-726-0929. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios on this Monday evening. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Monday night with you. All right, 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Asking you the question, your biggest strength and your biggest concern for the Falcons as we head into training camp. We'll talk to our friend of the show, Torrey McElhaney, coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. Chris Willis at 8:20, about an hour from now. We'll talk some Braves baseball with him. Day-Day, if I ask you what's the biggest strength, biggest concern for this Falcons team going into this training camp and beyond and headed into the season, what do you think it is right now?
Me, biggest strength, I'm going to say defense. I just love the additions that they brought in. You know, Akuda Bates, Onyemata, Calais Campbell, you know, hopefully AJ, you know, Terrell returns to, you know, his rookie season stat, you know, play. And I just really think, you know, defensively what they've done is really, they just, on paper, they look good to me defensively.
Right.
Biggest concern would be is how quickly everything can come together offensively for Desmond Ridder. And more so because of the impatience of fans. Because we just, as a fan base, as a, you know, we want, you know, we have the microwave society thought process now when it comes to sports, and I just don't want people to get impatient with Ridder. But I don't feel like he's going to be out there just, you know, messing up. You know what I mean? I think he's in a good position, and I just don't want the fans to like have this expectations of his numbers needing to be somewhere where they probably really shouldn't be just yet. You know what I mean? So
let's be honest, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of their plans blew up in their face as far as succession plan for Matt Ryan.
Right.
So, again, when they were looking to move on from their franchise quarterback, potential Hall of Fame quarterback, all of the things that they did blew up in their face.
Right.
Like, it didn't just kind of, well, it blew up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Deshaun Watson thing, Matt wanting, you know, out, and, I mean, all of it, and he didn't get a chance to kind of work with anybody. It all blew up in their face. The Marcus Mariota experiment, that blew up in their face. I mean, so with all due respect, everything that has happened at quarterback has blown up in their face.
Yeah.
And then we hope that Desmond Ridder is a guy that can stabilize that position. Again, I'm not asking him to go out and play MVP caliber football, but he's got to be a guy that stabilizes the position. And so I understand. I think that's a legitimate thing to be concerned about. The thing that I think is the team's biggest strength is just those five guys up front on the offensive line. I just think that that unit as a whole, that you, yes, there are some bits and pieces and things like that, but I think you can get away with some of the things that they're looking to get away with, whether it's Bergeron at left guard or what have you. I just think that for what this team's identity is, and for what their playing personality is, to steal a Bo Bachism, then it all starts with their offensive line.
Right.
And that's one of the things that they built up in Tennessee, was a really strong offensive line for Derrick Henry. And obviously Algier was a 1,000-yard rusher that ran behind that offensive line. And when you put McGarry and Lindstrom on the right-hand side and they're run blocking, they're moving people where they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a real key, because you can't have your offensive identity and you can't have your playing personality without some of those things in place, without those, you know, without those guys that are up front blocking everybody. And we're going to talk about Jake Matthews here coming up in the Falcons flyover, because again, when you talk to scouts and players and things like that, they realize how good Jake Matthews has been. So that's I think is their biggest strength, is that their playing personnel, their identity is solidified because of their offensive line.
Right.
Now, it's very simple what I think their biggest concern is. I mean, it's going to be pass rush. And you know, again, I will keep the Ghostbusters theory intact. I have the Ghostbusters theory. We are ready to believe you. And I know all the defensive pieces that they added and all this good kind of stuff, okay? But I still don't see a guy that's going to get me 10 sacks. Now, can Ebba Cady do that? Can this guy do that? Can this guy do this? Can this guy do... Sure. So a lot of hope and prayers and possibilities and things like that that come into play. That there are very few unknowns. Very few knowns, you know, when you look right at impacting at the point of attack. I know Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell and Jeff Okuda are good corners, but those guys aren't going to sack the quarterback.
Right.
And you're either going to win at the line of scrimmage. You're either going to win at the line of scrimmage or you ain't going to win. And trust me, if you think Bates and Okuda and A.J. Terrell can cover for 5 or 6 seconds while quarterbacks just stand back there and do nothing and lollygag around all day, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. Those guys aren't going to be able to cover everybody coming all out after them and stand back there for 5 or 6 seconds and cover everybody. Guys will be open. Quarterbacks will make those kinds of plays if we can't figure out a way to put some of these quarterbacks on their tookus. And that's still my concern.
Definitely have a question about the team's pass rush.
Oh, boy. Ugh. Well, I mean, I we're kind of overblowing sacks. I mean, so again, Day-Day, we're kind of, you know, probably talking up sacks a little bit too much. And
the know, more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are.
And, oh, okay. All right. You know, if only somebody had preached that for years, gosh almighty, if only somebody was talking about those kinds of things. But anyway, and given stats and numbers and facts and figures and all and
right.
Stuff. So, again, 404-726-0929. I think the other strength is our secondary, and I really think that the back end of our secondary, with the additions of Bates and Jeff Okuda, I think that's really invigorated some life. And I will say that I think the biggest addition for our secondary, the biggest addition for our secondary, is bringing Jerry Gray in and having a stabilizing force. Look, I don't know if you read the quotes about what Jair Alexander had to say about Jerry Gray, but he was, you know, Jair Alexander, one of the better corners in all of the NFL. He made the top 50, right? Okay. Jair Alexander has nothing but great things to say about Jerry Gray. He praises him, and he talks about how much he benefited from having Jerry Gray as a coach with him when Jerry Gray was the defensive backs coach for the Green Bay Packers, benefited immensely. And I really like our secondary. I think Okuda is going to have himself a big year. I think A.J. Terrell is going to have the bounce-back year that we expected out of him. I think Jesse Bates will have a good year. I think their secondary is going to become a real strength for this football team. And we can get away with, you know, the Mike Hughes and guys like that, you know, but I really think that this another strength of this football team is the quality of play of that secondary. And if Jeff Okuda can live up to some of the expectation and some of the hype that surrounded him, we'll be in good shape. I mean, we'll be in good shape, because I think A.J. Terrell is going to come back, and I think Bates is going to have a good year for them. But I definitely think that this secondary is another big-time strength of this team. All right, 404-726-0929. Let's go out to Brian out in Decatur. What's going on, Brian?
How are you doing?
Good, man. What's going on, bud?
All right, I'm a little controversial, but I'm going to make my point kind of quick.
Mm-hmm.
As far as strength, I think it is Desmond Ridder, and I'll tell you why. He only has to be Tannehill. This is not a coach that's going to give him 6,000 yards, 5,000 yards ability to throw.
Right.
So he only has to be above average. That's all he has to be. And I think that based off of what he did with Mariota, he's going to be better at quarterback. So that's why I say the strength is actually quarterback, even though everyone thinks differently. My weakness is the lack of young talent on offense. Well, not offense, but on defense. That's what I think. Because if you have injuries or anything like that, on the pass rush, we already know. If you rush from the middle, Ebikade and those other guys are going to get in the they're going to get sacks just because of the pressure from the middle. Quarterbacks hate pressure in their face. That's all.
I appreciate it. And look, I don't disagree with the Desmond Ridder comment because they're not going to put him in it. They're not going to put him in a disadvantageous situation. Is that a word? Disadvantageous? I don't know if it is, but they're not going to put him in a disadvantageous situation. You're not going to ask him to throw for 5,000 yards. You don't need him to throw for 6,000 yards. You don't need him to throw 40 touchdowns. I'd love all that stuff, but you don't have to have it. Now, what's interesting is your point about the young talent on defense. And, you know, I like the mix, though. I will say I like the mix of young talent that they have mixed in with some of the veterans. Now, I do think, though, that the veterans have to step their game up. I think that Grady and Onyemata and Calais Campbell, I think all of these guys, they have to step their game up. And I will be curious to see because, again, I've put all the pressure in the world. I think the most pressure on the defensive side of the football is Arnold Ebikade. I think he has to be the guy that performs at a high, high level. If he can't be that kind of fire breather that comes off the edge and he gives the Falcons a legitimate pass rushing threat every time out, I don't know if there's enough sacks to go around for everybody. I don't know if there's enough sacks to just say, okay, we can still be a dominant defense if Arnold Ebikade doesn't do much. I don't see that happening. I think he's the real linchpin for what this defense is going to be. And if he can create a lot of pressure coming around from the outside, that's going to free some other guys up to get through the middle. You know, I think our defensive line on the interior is probably as good as it's been in a long, long time. With Onyemata, with Grady, with Taquan Graham, I like what we have going on up front. And Campbell will probably play, a little bit here or there, on the inside. But I think that we have guys that be disruptive in the backfield. If nothing else, if they're not sacking the quarterback, again, to your point, they can free some of those guys up to basically allow some of the outside guys to get after the quarterback. And maybe that frees up the, again, if it's Campbell on the outside or Lorenzo Carter, Caden Ellis. Can Caden Ellis be a guy that had 7 sacks last year? In 3 years, he had 1 sack. First 3 years in the league, he had 1 sack with special teams, with basically him playing mostly special teams. And then last year had a chance to really start because of injury, and parlayed that into a nice contract for the Falcons with the Falcons and had 7 sacks for it. So I'm hoping that our pass rush becomes a strength of our team. I'm hoping that our pass rush is something that becomes a real strength of this football team. Even if we're not 40 sacks, can we get to 30? Can we be a 30-sack team? That gets you more at least in the realm of, okay, we can do some things defensively and we maybe have more of a playoff-caliber defense. And I heard Freaky say earlier on the show, I expect Ridder to score 28, 29, 30 points. Do you know how few teams score 30 points in the NFL? Do you know how few teams are? And that's really reserved for the Kansas Cities and the Greatest Show on Turf and people like that. Like, that's very limited as far as who's really scoring 30 points even in today's NFL. All right, let's grab D out of Atlanta before we get to break. What's going on, D?
Hey, brother Chucker. How you doing, man?
Good, buddy.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, man. What's going on, buddy?
Same old, same old. Hey, the Falcons, you said it the best, and I bleed red and black. I'm a diehard. And if we don't get the quarterback on the ground, and I hate to bring up the Patriots Super Bowl, because that burns my ass every time I do it. Sorry. And, you know, I tell you, getting him on the ground was the key to scoring all those points that we did in the first half of that game. And if you watch every NFL game you ever played against a GOAT, you get him on the ground, and he doesn't know what to do.
And you force him, and you also force him into, you know, being, again, throwing the football early and different things like that. I mean, so that it also opens you up to trying to create turnovers as well.
Yeah, so if we don't get anybody on the ground, I don't care who we brought in by this team. That's not going to matter. Our offense is going to be great, but I'm just still hoping the defense does their job.
I appreciate the phone call. Yep, I appreciate it. And again, as I say, we're ready to believe you, as the Ghostbusters continue to say. All right, when we get back, Tory McElhaney will join us up next. We'll continue the Falcons conversation. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, we're just a little bit over 60 hours away from the first official practice of the 2023 Falcons training camp. And, of course, we'll have all of your coverage Thursday, Friday, and then all of the following week. We'll be up there all weekend long, all week. And then we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline to talk to our friend of the show, Tory McElhaney. She covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page, at Tory_McElhaney. Tory, are you rested and relaxed and ready to go? Do you got your battery charged back up as we get ready for camp on Thursday?
I sure do. You know, I just got back from the beach with my family, so I think I'm ready. I say that every year, and then we get a week in, and I'm exhausted. So who knows? Ask me again in a week, and I'll tell you how I really feel.
Yeah, and obviously it will be, you know, nice and hot and bright and, you know, all those good things up there. But, you know, Tory, one of the things about this defense especially is, you know, it feels like that there are not really much – there's really not much – competition just as far as kind of spots to be had. You know, I don't know if the second corner is in limbo or anything like that. I would assume that it's Okuda's job, but really it feels like defensively, for the first time in a long time, that this unit is pretty well set, and they've got some depth and they've got some pieces, and everybody kind of knows where they fit right now.
Yeah, I actually would agree with that. I mean, when you and I think that's a byproduct of when you have money to spend in free agency, you can go out and get those big ticket players, and those big ticket players are going to be your starters. And so I think where we've been in the last couple of years before this past offseason, you really didn't have that. And so you had more competition just because you had a lot of guys on similar levels in terms of, you know, those mid-level veterans that they were bringing in on one-year deals. So there was a little bit more competition. But now, if you bring in Jesse Bates and you bring in David Onyemata and Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree and all these guys, you know that they're going to be not only starters but heavily in the rotation. And so I really do feel that way. But the only position that I feel on the defensive side of the ball that has a little bit of competition is at nickel. I wasn't expecting there to be a huge competition between Mike Hughes and Dee Alford, but I really felt that way during OTAs in the spring and getting into May and June, that was one spot on the defense that I was really looking forward to seeing how it played out through training camp, because through OTAs, I felt like they were really pushing each other, and I was very, very surprised by that.
So, Torrey, as, you know, again, Bijan Robinson will be entering his first training camp for the Falcons, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you a question. So, do you think – so the Falcons' most reception yards by a running back in team history is 735 from William Andrews. I'm going to talk about this later on in the show. 735 yards from William Andrews in 1981. I'm going to ask you the question, do you think Bijan Robinson could achieve more yards than that, or do you think he will be under that number?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, if you're just going by, like, simple math, and over the course of 3 years at Texas, I believe he only had, like, 308 receiving yards total. So not saying that that's going to translate directly to – you know, what he'll do with the Falcons. But I do think because of the fact that Desmond Ridder does have a lot of options, I don't necessarily think that you can get to that high of a number if you're expecting Bijan Robinson to play a significant role as a true running back. And I do think that what you're going to see more of is see him more as a running back. I know, you know, everybody talks about the offensive weapon that he is, but when I really look at this offense and kind of understanding that, okay, Drake London's going to be out there, Kyle Pitts, Cordarrelle Patterson should have a bigger role in the pass game than he did last year when he was kind of out of necessity more of a featured back. I think he'll have more of an opportunity to look how he did in 2021 in terms of his usage. And you also have guys like Jonnu Smith that I think is going to fly under the radar, and Scotty Miller and Matt Collins. I mean, all of these guys, I think you have so many options in the pass game that I do think that Bijan Robinson is going to get his catches and he's going to get his opportunities and targets. But I would be very surprised if it's that significant of a number.
Torrey McElhaney from AtlantaFalcons.com joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So is the plan to start Matt Hennessy with the ones in training camp? I mean, that was kind of the theme about OTAs, and certainly Matthew Bergeron is probably going to get a look-see, but I wonder if they're going to work him in a little bit slowly. Would the plan be for Matt Hennessy to kind of start with the ones right away at left guard?
That's what I'm really thinking, is because when you look at Matthew Bergeron, I think that there's not a huge pressing need for him to, like, go in day one and be the starting left guard and they just run with him until the wheels fall off. Like, I don't necessarily think that that's the trajectory that you need to have with someone who is playing this position for the very, very first time. I think you ran into that issue with Jalen Mayfield, and I understood, you know, with Jalen Mayfield, it was a different set of circumstances, and he was kind of forced into that left guard spot, and I think he was forced into it before he was ready for it. And I do wonder a lot if he would have been able to have a year under his belt where he actively was playing that position in practice every single day, how different it would have looked for him. And I think the Falcons wouldn't want to make that same mistake with a guy like Matthew Bergeron, especially when you have Matt Hennessy there who has that experience. Granted, it's not a whole lot of experience, but he has more experience there. He's older. He's been in the league for a minute. You don't have to force Matthew Bergeron into that spot if he's not yet ready for it. Give him time to grow and evolve as a specifically a left guard. I think you kind of look at the idea of what they did with Richie Grant. Richie Grant was a second-round pick, but they didn't throw him out there in the very, very first year as a starter. They slowly morphed him into that role. Same thing with Troy Anderson last year. You see that they really put a lot in this idea of developing these second, third-round picks and not just throwing them out there. And so I think Matthew Bergeron kind of falls under a very, very similar type of development path.
My concern is that I think Hennessy and Dahlman are two undersized offensive linemen, and I feel like I can live with one of those guys if they're at guard or center. My concern is when they're arm in arm, standing side by side with one another, those are two undersized guys that could potentially get pushed around. And, you know, again, that was part of the problem for Hennessy in his first year, was getting pushed backward. My concern is just when, if you line those two guys up side by side, that defenses are going to try to push this team right into the backfield, you know, with those two guys right up front.
Yeah, I think that's a valid concern. And I think my response to that is, if it's not working, then change it. You have somebody who you drafted to be a left guard. If it really feels like you don't have the right guy there, go ahead and put Matthew Bergeron there. You know, like, if he's okay in his development to be there, then okay, put him there. I don't think that it's this like do or die thing that if Matt Hennessy doesn't work out, that you don't have any other answer at left guard. I don't necessarily think that. And I also go back to last year with the fact that the Falcons at one point, I'm pretty sure, played four different guys at left guard in four different consecutive weeks. And they were fine. You know, they still ran the ball very well, and they still had the protection. And so I don't think that it's really that big of a deal that these two guys are undersized, when you have seen in the past that they still were able to get the job done together. So any way you slice it, I'm just kind of like, it's okay for right now. And if it's not working, change it up.
Torrey, one of the other things that a lot of, you know, the pundits and stuff like that have written about and talked about is the idea of the Falcons need more wide receivers and things like that. And when I look at this offense, you know, I do feel like, though, that there are enough guys to catch the football, whether they're specific wide receivers or not, with Smith and Pitts and London and Scott Miller. Like, I think that they have enough pass catchers for a team that probably is not going to throw it, you know, obviously 600 times like Matt Ryan would. You know, again, I don't really see that as much of a concern. I mean, again, yeah, you'd always like to upgrade those spots, but I think they have plenty of guys who can catch the football no matter what position that they're actually playing.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you bring that up, because I was definitely in the camp of the Falcons need to draft a wide receiver. I think in every single mock draft that I did leading up to the draft, to even the like second and third round of the draft, I was like, okay, the Falcons are going to take I was dead set on the Falcons using one of their second or third round picks on a receiver. Mm-hmm. Every single time I said that they were going to, because that's what I felt like it was a significant need. I could not, on the roster, even with Scotty Miller and even with Matt Collins, like them going out in free agency and getting them, I didn't see a surefire wide receiver number two. You knew Drake London's wide receiver number one, and I couldn't see a wide receiver number two. I don't know if I still can, because we haven't really seen, you know, a separation after Drake London. So because of that, I was in that camp, like, oh, the Falcons need more receivers. They need receivers. They need receivers. But then they go get Bijan, and then they, you know, have Jonnu Smith, and they have Kyle Pitts, and they have Cordarrelle Patterson, and they have Tyler Allgeier. I agree with you. They're not hurting for pass catchers, and I think it's a situation with the way that this offense is constructed that wide receiver number two could actually be tight end number one, or tight end number two, or running back number one, or running back number two. You know, there's so many different things that you can do within this offense because you have guys who are versatile and can just catch the ball in different types of looks. And so for all of that being said, it's like, I agree. I don't think that wide receiver, kind of as the offseason went on, you got to see more and more about how these weapons were going to be used. It's kind of like they didn't need one.
So let's talk about the most important position on the football field, and that's quarterback. How do you think that they are going to work Taylor Heinicke in? Is it a clear Ritter is one, Heinicke is two? Is there some competition there? Will they kind of look at both guys? Will the reps be heavily weighed toward Ritter? Like, what's your sense or your kind of your feel for what the quarterback position is going to look like as we move into camp?
Yeah, I think this is Desmond Ritter's job to lose, honestly. I think that this coaching staff has been very I don't know if adamant is the right word, but there's never been a question mark as to whether or not Desmond Ridder was going to be the starter after they said that he was going to be the starter. I think like that in terms of just like the competition, even Taylor Heinicke, I remember we sat down with him on his after he signed, literally he signs on the dotted line and he comes in and does these interviews and he's like, you know, I'm going to be a good backup to Desmond Ridder. And if I have to go out there, I will go out there and do my job and do it to the best of my ability. Like that's always been the language. And so I don't think that changes because of training camp. And I think this is, again, I think this is Desmond Ridder's job. He's been working with the ones, he's been prepping and practicing and doing all the things a QB1 should be doing in the off season. So for me, it's without question that it's Desmond Ridder's number one, Taylor Heinicke's number two.
Tori McElhaney covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can check her out on her personal Twitter page. It's @Tori_McElhaney, and she joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Tori, as always, thank you so much for the time this evening. And listen, we look forward to camp getting started and chatting all season long.
You know, can't wait. Just ready for football season to be here.
Yeah, it's here. It's officially here. So thank you so much, Tori, as always.
Thank you.
When we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. Boy, Steve Smith, not very supportive of Desmond Ridder. We'll get to all of that next. Chuck me in the Key Studios. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron.
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Sports Radio 92.9, the game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, we're just a little bit over 60 hours away from the first official practice of the 2023 Falcons training camp. And, of course, we'll have all of your coverage Thursday, Friday, and then all of the following week. We'll be up there all weekend long, all week. And then we head out to the waitforit.com hotline to talk to our friend of the show, Tori McElhaney. She covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page, at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, are you rested and relaxed and ready to go? Do you got your battery charged back up as we get ready for camp on Thursday?
I sure do. You know, I just got back from the beach with my family, so I think I'm ready. I say that every year, and then we get a week in, and I'm exhausted. So who knows? Ask me again in a week, and I'll tell you how I really feel.
Yeah, and obviously it will be, you know, nice and hot and bright and, you know, all those good things up there. But, you know, Tori, one of the things about this defense especially is, you know, it feels like that there are not really much – there's really not much – competition just as far as kind of spots to be had. You know, I don't know if the second corner is in limbo or anything like that. I would assume that it's Okuda's job, but really it feels like defensively for the first time in a long time that this unit is pretty well set and they've got some depth and they've got some pieces and everybody kind of knows where they fit right now.
Yeah, I actually would agree with that. I mean, when you and I think that's a byproduct of when you have money to spend in free agency, you can go out and get those big ticket players, and those big ticket players are going to be your starters. And so I think where we've been in the last couple of years before this past offseason, you really didn't have that. And so you had more competition just because you had a lot of guys on similar levels in terms of, you know, those mid-level veterans that they were bringing in on one-year deals. So there was a little bit more competition. But now, if you bring in Jesse Bates and you bring in David Onyemata and Calais Campbell and Bud Dupree and all these guys, you know that they're going to be not only starters but heavily in the rotation. And so I really do feel that way. But the only position that I feel on the defensive side of the ball that has a little bit of competition is at nickel. I wasn't expecting there to be a huge competition between Mike Hughes and Dee Alford, but I really felt that way during OTAs in the spring and getting into May and June, that was one spot on the defense that I was really looking forward to seeing how it played out through training camp, because through OTAs, I felt like they were really pushing each other, and I was very, very surprised by that.
So, Tori, as, you know, again, Bijan Robinson will be entering his first training camp for the Falcons, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you a question. So do you think – so the Falcons' most reception yards by a running back in team history is 735 from William Andrews. I'm going to talk about this later on in the show. 735 yards from William Andrews in 1981. I'm going to ask you the question. Do you think Bijan Robinson could – achieve more yards than that, or do you think he will be under that number?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, if you're just going by like simple math, and over the course of 3 years at Texas, I believe he only had like 308 receiving yards total. So not saying that that's going to translate directly to, you know, what he'll do with the Falcons, but I do think because of the fact that Desmond Ridder does have a lot of options, I don't necessarily think that you can get to that high of a number if you're expecting Bijan Robinson to play a significant role as a true running back. And I do think that what you're going to see more of is see him more as a running back. I know, you know, everybody talks about how the offensive weapon that he is, but when I really look at this offense and kind of understanding that, okay, Drake London's going to be out there, Kyle Pitts, Cordero Patterson should have a bigger role in the pass game than he did last year when he was kind of out of necessity more of a featured back. I think he'll have more of an opportunity to look how he did in 2021 in terms of his usage. And you got you also have guys like Jonnu Smith that I think is going to fly under the radar, and Scotty Miller and Matt Collins. I mean, all of these guys, I think you have so many options in the pass game that I do think that Bijan Robinson's going to get his catches and he's going to get his opportunities and targets. But I would be very surprised if it's that significant of a number.
Torrey McElhaney from AtlantaFalcons.com joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So is the plan to start Matt Hennessy with the ones in training camp? I mean, that was kind of the theme about OTAs, and certainly Matthew Bergeron is probably going to get a look-see, but I wonder if they're going to work him in a little bit slowly. Would the plan be for Matt Hennessy to kind of start with the ones right away at left guard?
That's what I'm really thinking, is because when you look at Matthew Bergeron, I think that there's not a huge pressing need for him to, like, go in day one and be the starting left guard and they just run with him until the wheels fall off. Like, I don't necessarily think that that's the trajectory that you need to have with someone who is playing this position for the very, very first time. I think you ran into that issue with Jalen Mayfield, and I understood, you know, with Jalen Mayfield, it was a different set of circumstances, and he was kind of forced into that left guard spot, and I think he was forced into it before he was ready for it. And I do wonder a lot if he would have been able to have a year under his belt where he actively was playing that position in practice every single day, how different it would have looked for him. And I think the Falcons wouldn't want to make that same mistake with a guy like Matthew Bergeron, especially when you have Matt Hennessy there who has that experience. Granted, it's not a whole lot of experience, but he has more experience there. He's older. He's been in the league for a minute. You don't have to force Matthew Bergeron into that spot if he's not yet ready for it. Give him time to grow and evolve as a specifically a left guard. I think you kind of look at the idea of what they did with Richie Grant. Richie Grant was a second-round pick, but they didn't throw him out there in the very, very first year as a starter. They slowly morphed him into that role. Same thing with Troy Anderson last year. You see that they really put a lot in this idea of developing these second, third-round picks and not just throwing them out there. And so I think Matthew Bergeron kind of falls under a very, very similar type of development path.
My concern is that I think Hennessy and Dahlman are two undersized offensive linemen, and I feel like I can live with one of those guys if they're at guard or center. My concern is when they're arm in arm standing side by side with one another, those are two undersized guys that could potentially get pushed around. And you know, again, that was part of the problem for Hennessy in his first year, was getting pushed backward. My concern is just when if you line those two guys up side by side, that defenses are going to try to push this team right into the backfield, you know, with those two guys right up front.
Yeah, I think that's a valid concern. And I think my response to that is if it's not working, then change it. You have somebody who you drafted to be a left guard. If it really feels like you don't have the right guy there, go ahead and put Matthew Bergeron there. You know, like if he's okay in his development to be there, then okay, put him there. I don't think that it's this like do or die thing that if Matt Hennessy doesn't work out that you don't have any other answer at left guard. I don't necessarily think that. And I also go back to last year with the fact that the Falcons at one point, I'm pretty sure, played four different guys at left guard in four different consecutive weeks. And they were fine. You know, they still ran the ball very well, and they still had the protection. And so I don't think that it's really that big of a deal that these two guys are undersized when you have seen in the past that they still were able to get the job done together. So any way you slice it, I'm just kind of like, it's okay for right now. And if it's not working, change it up.
Tori, one of the other things that a lot of the pundits and stuff like that have written about and talked about is the idea of the Falcons need more wide receivers and things like that. And when I look at this offense, you know, I do feel like, though, that there are enough guys to catch the football, whether they're specific wide receivers or not, with Smith and right. Pitts and London and Scott Miller. Like, I think that they have enough pass catchers for a team that probably is not going to throw it, you know, obviously 600 times like Matt Ryan would. You know, again, I don't really see that as much of a concern. I mean, again, yeah, you'd always like to upgrade those spots, but I think they have plenty of guys who can catch the football no matter what position that they're actually playing.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you bring that up because I was definitely in the camp of the Falcons need to draft a wide receiver. I think in every single mock draft that I did leading up to the draft, to even the like second and third round of the draft, I was like, okay, the Falcons are going to take I was dead set on the Falcons using one of their second or third round picks on a receiver. Mm-hmm. Every single time I said that they were going to, because that's what I felt like it was a significant need. I could not on the roster, even with Scotty Miller and even with Matt Collins, like them going out in free agency and getting them, I didn't see a surefire wide receiver number two. You knew Drake London's wide receiver number one, and I couldn't see a wide receiver number two. I don't know if I still can, because we haven't really seen, you know, a separation after Drake London. So because of that, I was in that camp, like, oh, the Falcons need more receivers. They need receivers. They need receivers. But then they go get Bijan, and then they, you know, have Jonnu Smith, and they have Kyle Pitts, and they have Cordarrelle Patterson, and they have Tyler Allgeier. I agree with you. They're not hurting for pass catchers, and I think it's a situation with the way that this offense is constructed that wide receiver number two could actually be tight end number one or tight end number two or running back number one or running back number two. You know, there's so many different things that you can do within this offense because you have guys who are versatile and can just catch the ball in different types of looks. And so for all of that being said, it's like, I agree. I don't think that wide receiver, kind of as the off season went on, you got to see more and more about how these weapons were going to be used. It's kind of like they didn't need one.
So let's talk about the most important position on the football field, and that's quarterback. How do you think that they are going to work Taylor Heinicke in? Is it a clear Ritter is one, Heinicke is two? Is there some competition there? Will they kind of look at both guys? Will the reps be heavily weighed toward Ritter? Like, what's your sense or your kind of your feel for what the quarterback position is going to look like as we move into camp?
Yeah, I think this is Desmond Ritter's job to lose, honestly. I think that this coaching staff has been very, I don't know if adamant is the right word, but there's never been a question mark as to whether or not Desmond Ritter was going to be the starter after they said that he was going to be the starter. I think like that in terms of just like the competition, even Taylor Heinicke, I remember we sat down with him after he signed, literally he signs on the dotted line and he comes in and does these interviews and he's like, you know, I'm going to be a good backup to Desmond Ritter. And if I have to go out there, I will go out there and do my job and do it to the best of my ability. Like that's always been the language. And so I don't think that changes because of training camp. And I think this is, again, I think this is Desmond Ritter's job. He's been working with the ones, he's been prepping and practicing and doing all the things a QB1 should be doing in the off season. So for me, it's without question that it's Desmond Ritter's number one, Taylor Heinicke's number two.
Tori McElhaney covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can check her out on her personal Twitter page. It's @Tori_McElhaney, and she joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Tori, as always, thank you so much for the time this evening. And listen, we look forward to camp getting started and chatting all season long.
You know, can't wait. Just ready for football season to be here.
Yeah, it's here. It's officially here. So thank you so much, Tori, as always.
Thank you.
When we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. Boy, Steve Smith, not very supportive of Desmond Ridder. We'll get to all of that next. Chuck me in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.